Okay, let's take a deep dive. Today we're looking at a single source, an article that gives us the inside story, really, on the ERPM Golf Club.
Right.
Our mission, basically, is to dig into this material and uncover the most interesting bits, the history, the course, the facilities, everything that makes ERPM what it is. And this isn't just about golf balls and greens. It's about exploring a place with, well, really deep roots, significant evolution, and a thriving community.
Yeah, it sounds fascinating. Let's unpack it.
Agreed. It's amazing how a place that started, you know, because mining engineers needed somewhere to unwind, has grown into something so much more.
Absolutely. A whole tapestry, like you said.
And the history is where this article kicks things off. It tells us ERPM Golf Club was founded way, way back in 1893.
1893, yeah, that's quite something. It was the mining engineers from the East Rand proprietary mines in Gauteng. They had this vision, sort of creating a tranquil spot specifically for golf lovers.
And it clearly hasn't just sat still since then. The article really highlights the evolution, especially the changes to the course layout and the facilities over the years.
Yeah.
There's a specific mention of a landmark transformation in the 1980s.
Oh, yeah. That 80s transformation sounds pivotal. The article suggests it wasn't just, you know, a facelift. It was about introducing new strategic challenges on the course while making sure they preserved the natural beauty. That seems key.
Keeping that character.
Exactly. Adapting, but staying true.
And it wasn't just evolving physically, was it? The article points out it became a real competitive hub in South Africa, hosting numerous prestigious tournaments.
Definitely. Those tournaments are like woven into its timeline. The source highlights the first big one back in the 1960s. That apparently really set the stage for its reputation in competitive golf.
The groundwork.
Yeah. And then, of course, celebrating the centenary in 1993. That must have been a huge moment. Honoring that long history while, you know, looking forward.
And bringing things right up to speed, the article notes they've integrated modern tech online booking, digital score tracking, shows they're willing to embrace innovation alongside all that tradition.
Which is always a tricky balance, isn't it?
Yeah.
How do you stay connected to over a century of history, but still use the latest digital tools? The article implies they've managed that blend pretty effectively. It also names some people who were really crucial in shaping the club.
Yeah, two names really jumped out at me. Sir John Houghton, apparently a long-serving president, credited with promoting golf locally and, internally, fostering inclusivity.
Right. And Dale Hayes.
Ah, yes, the golfer. Accomplished player. Started his journey right there at ERPM. Went on to international success.
What a story. Hayes is a fantastic example, isn't he, of the kind of talent and dedication the club has nurtured. The article suggests these figures, and others too, were really instrumental in cultivating that strong spirit of camaraderie and excellence the club has today.
Part of its legacy.
Absolutely. Their contributions are clearly a big part of it.
So that covers the incredible history and the people who shaped it. But what about the place where the action happens, the course itself? The article gives us a pretty detailed look at navigating the greens.
It does. It describes an 18-hole design, stretches about 6,200 meters from the back tees. It's painted as a course that demands strategic thinking, you know, requires a good mix of both power and finesse, offers challenges for pretty much all skill levels.
Yeah, it even walks us through a couple of holes. The first, a par four, sounds like you need to be sharp right from the start, wide fairway, but trees bordering it, then a dog leg right towards a well-protected green.
Precision, that's the word that comes to mind. And the second hole, a par three, sounds both beautiful and maybe a bit nerve-wracking. Needs an accurate shot over water. The article notes it tests your precision, but rewards you with these picturesque views.
Always a good trade-off.
Yeah.
Now, every memorable course has signature holes, right? And the article flags a couple that sound particularly compelling. The seventh, a par five over 500 meters. That's described as a formidable test.
Oh, yeah. A true challenge of skill and, well, nerve. Complete with stunning vistas, strategically placed bunkers, water hazards, the works.
And then there's the 12th, a shorter par 4, but the article highlights its high-risk, high-reward nature.
Ah, the tempter.
Exactly. That's the one that tempts you to drive the green, isn't it? But the article warns about those deep bunkers surrounding it. You really have to weigh whether that potential eagle is worth the risk of ending up in the sand.
It really forces a decision off the tee, doesn't it?
A proper
thinking golfer's hole.
And to keep a course offering these kinds of challenges in, you know, top condition, maintenance is obviously huge. The article stresses this is a top priority.
Yeah, they detailed the dedicated team and the techniques they use. Everything from regular aeration for healthy grass and putting surfaces
to state-of-the-art irrigation. which, as the article points out, is especially crucial during those hot South African summers. Managing water efficiently.
Absolutely. And seasonal care, too. Protecting against frost damage in winter.
It sounds comprehensive.
This level of detail in the article about their maintenance commitment really underscores why it's considered such a high-quality experience year-round. It's not just luck. It's sustained effort.
Makes sense.
The article also gets into understanding the course's difficulty ratings using the stroke index for each hole.
Which is really helpful for strategy, isn't it?
Mm.
The article uses the contrast between holes like the third and the ninth to illustrate this. The third, a par four with a stroke index of 2, sounds like one of the toughest nuts to crack. Narrow fairway, water hazard,
mm-hmm.
demands precise planning.
Right. Whereas the ninth, a par three with stroke index 18, is described as more forgiving. Offers a bit of a breather, maybe a chance to recover your score or confidence.
Good, have those contrasts.
And the article wisely points out that beyond the official ratings, you know, external factors like wind can significantly change how a hole plays on any given day. It tests your adaptability as much as your raw skill. Mental resilience, too.
Definitely. The article even offers specific strategic play tips, presumably gleaned from course designers or pros. Number one seems to be prioritizing understanding each hole's layout. Really looking before you leap.
Yeah, and assessing wind direction and hazards before you even pull a club.
They give concrete examples, too. Like, for the fourth, a dogleg left, the article suggests resisting the urge to cut the corner aggressively. Maybe lay up with a precise shot instead.
Smart play. And on the 15th, that par 5, being acutely aware of the water hazard short of the green if you're thinking about going for it in 2.
Practical advice you can actually use. And of course, the article recommends getting a feel for the conditions beforehand. Hit the driving range, spend time on the putting greens.
Yeah, preparation.
Yeah.
Sounds like a course that really rewards thoughtful play.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It seems like planning your round is crucial here. So we've journeyed through the history and navigated the course. But golf clubs are often about more than just, you know, hitting a ball. The article delves into what's beyond the fairway, the facilities, and the community life we touched on. The clubhouse sounds like a central hub.
It's described as a blend of elegance and comfort, mixing modern design with traditional elements. That spacious lounge with panoramic course views sounds ideal.
A place to relax or socialize after a round.
Exactly. And the dining experience gets a good mention, too.
Right.
The article calls it a culinary delight, which is high praise. With a menu covering everything from casual snacks to full meals, sounds like they aim to cater to diverse tastes.
And they mention special events like themed evenings and Sunday lunches, with an emphasis on local ingredients reflecting South African culture. That gives you a real feel for the place.
It does. It paints a picture beyond just the golf. They also note versatile event spaces are available for hosting various occasions.
Makes sense. For weddings, functions, that sort of thing.
From intimate gatherings to larger celebrations, it sounds like they've got the capacity. And the practice facilities get significant attention in the article as well.
Outstanding is the word used. With a driving range featuring multiple bays, including covered ones, which is great for year-round practice.
And well-maintained putting greens designed to mimic the undulations you'll actually find on the course. That's important for real practice.
Caters to all skill levels, it seems.
These areas sound really comprehensive for anyone looking to improve their game. And the article mentions clinics and practice sessions led by pros. That suggests an active effort to foster a supportive learning environment, part of that community building.
Yeah, and if you need gear or some expert advice, the Pro Shop is described as a comprehensive destination.
Stocked with equipment, apparel. Staffed by knowledgeable people offering advice, even custom fitting. That's a big plus.
For sure. The article also mentions they feature promotions and club merchandise, all part of that club experience.
It all adds up, and convenience and comfort are clearly priorities, too. The article details spacious, secure locker rooms and refreshing shower facilities with essential amenities.
Reinforces that welcoming environment they seem to be aiming for.
Definitely. And for those who want to get more involved, the article outlines membership opportunities and the benefits that come with them.
Right. Things like unlimited course access, getting priority on booking tee times, and the chance to participate in exclusive competitions and tournaments. Standard perks, but important ones.
Very important for members. And beyond the golf itself, the article really emphasizes the vibrant social calendar. Regular events like themed dinners, networking nights, quiz nights, family barbecues. It paints a picture of a club actively building relationships.
It does sound like they really try to foster a strong sense of community and friendships.
Yeah.
Not just a place to play golf and go home.
Exactly. And the article mentions special events too, like holiday celebrations and charity fundraisers, suggesting members are encouraged to connect and maybe give back.
That sense of belonging seems crucial to their identity based on this source.
It really does. And alongside the social stuff, the article details a diverse range of tournaments and competitions throughout the year.
Catering to everyone, it sounds like. From relaxed weekend events for fun to the really serious stuff like the annual club championship.
And the mention of social competitions with prizes ensures there's something engaging for all skill levels, even if you're not aiming for the top trophy.
It seems they successfully create multiple ways for people to get involved, both on the course and off it.
That's the impression, yeah. A well-rounded offering.
All right, let's shift gears slightly to the practical side of things. For anyone listening who might be intrigued by ERPM, the article includes some essential visitor information. It sounds like they make planning a visit pretty straightforward.
They do seem to. The article highlights their user-friendly website, mentions online booking capabilities, making it easy to reserve a tee time. That's pretty standard now, but good to confirm.
Definitely makes life easier. And the fees are described as competitive and transparent. Clear distinctions between weekday and weekend rates.
Which is helpful for planning. Plus, the article notes special packages for groups and corporate events, so they cater to different needs there.
Good to know. They also provide essential details on the dress code and etiquette. Always important for maintaining the club's atmosphere and reputation.
Vital. The article specifies smart, casual attire collared shirts and tailored shorts and trousers for men, appropriate golf attire for women, and proper golf shoes, of course. No sneakers.
Standard golf club stuff. And the general etiquette points, keeping up the pace of play, repairing your divots and pitch marks, showing respect for fellow players. Good reminders for any golfer anywhere.
Absolutely. Basic courtesy on the course.
Now, the article even lists some nearby local attractions, which is interesting. It mentions the East Rand Mall for shopping and dining.
Okay. That makes sense, location-wise.
The Railway Museum in Bloemfontein.
Hold on, Bloemfontein. That's quite a distance from the East Rand, isn't it? That's an odd detail in the source.
It is a bit strange, yeah. Worth noting that geographical curiosity from the article. Maybe a typo in the source material.
Could be. Anyway, what else?
And the Matterfontein Nature Reserve for walking trails and bird watching. That sounds more local and like a nice contrast.
Right, a serene retreat nearby. That fits.
Finally, the article mentions an FAQ section, which seems to conveniently summarize many of the points we've already covered.
Like a quick recap.
Yeah. It's 1893 founding. The 18 holes, membership perks, those practice areas, the dress code, lessons, events, online booking, those nearby attractions, maybe minus the Bloemfontein one, and a clear message that visitors are welcome.
Okay, so it sounds like they've made sure the key information is readily accessible for anyone thinking of visiting or joining.
Seems so. So pulling all of this together from the article, the picture of ERPM Golf Club that emerges is, well, it's rich and layered, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's clearly more than just a collection of holes and fairways.
Tap.
It's a destination with this deep history stretching all the way back to those mining engineers in 1893. A course that balances challenge and beauty through continuous evolution.
That constant improvement seems key.
Exceptional facilities and, perhaps most importantly, based on this article, a truly vibrant community spirit.
Yeah. The key takeaways for me are that deep heritage, born from those specific industrial roots, you know, the ongoing commitment to maintaining excellence, both on the course and in fostering that sense of community, and how it seems to offer a genuinely welcoming and engaging experience for golfers and maybe even non-golfers, whether you're a member or just visiting for the day.
And understanding a place like this, just based on the details in this one article, it's valuable, I think. It shows you how an institution can successfully weave together over a century of history with modern needs and technologies.
Yeah.
How a community forms and really thrives around a shared passion. And it gives you a real sense of what makes this particular club tick.
It does. And, you know, here's where it gets really interesting. What does all of this actually mean? How does a club like ERPM, with roots tied so specifically to an industry from over 130 years ago, manage to not just survive, but genuinely flourish today?
Right.
What specific threads from its past, its physical space, its community efforts, allow it to continuously attract and engage people in a world that's changed so dramatically?
It really makes you consider the enduring power of places that successfully blend that deep tradition with, well, forward-thinking community building, something to definitely mull over.